This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
That after so many years of separation, when Yaakov Avinu finally meets Yosef, Chazal point out that the Pasuk says that Yosef, Hatzadik, falls on his father's shoulder and kisses him. While the Pasuk implies that it didn't work the other way, that Yaakov kisses Yosef. And the question is, why was it one-sided? Why is it that Yosef kisses his father while his father doesn't kiss Yosef? So Chazal said, because Yaakov Avinu was reading Kriya Shema at the time. Yaakov Avinu was reading Kriya Shema, and during Kriya Shema, one may not be mafsik, one may not make gestures, so therefore he doesn't fall on Yosef and kiss him. Why is Yaakov Avinu reading Kriya Shema? So we have to say, because it was the time to read Kriya Shema, Kipshutai. That would be the simple reason why he's reading Kriya Shema, and then thus it brings out the question, why was Yosef not reading Kriya Shema? If it's the time of Kriya Shema, then just like Yaakov reads Kriya Shema, and therefore he can't kiss Yosef, so Yosef should be reading Kriya Shema as well. So the question is not earth-shattering, because we could say a simple answer. Yaakov traveled. Traveling, he didn't want to say Kriya Shema. He comes to the to Yosef, he stops, now he's able to say Kriya Shema with Kavana, and so he says Kriya Shema. Yosef, maybe he said Kriya Shema before. Maybe Yosef didn't have to wait to the last minute to say Kriya Shema. Pshat is, maybe this man Kriya Shema was passing. And since this man Kriya Shema was passing, so Yaakov said Kriya Shema. Why? Because Yosef already said it. He said it before. That would be the Pashup shot. And the male of the Kasha is, doesn't require much change in more than simple pshat. Yaakov, yeah, he reads Kriya Shema because could be he delayed the reading of the Kriya Shema. He comes to Yosef. The traveling is over. Maybe the time was short, and therefore it was time to quickly read Kriya Shema instead of reading his son. Well, Yosef already said Kriya Shema. Yosef down with a Vesikin minion. Okay. It's Yedua. It's famous. The Teretz brought many Svarim, the Maral, and others, that it's not about Kriya Shema, the Zman, the Chiyuv. But this was something that Yaakov did on his own, which possibly he already said Kriya Shema for the Chiyuv. This was a second Kriya Shema, a separate Kriya Shema. Yaakov Avinu expresses himself upon seeing his son Yosef by reading Kriya Shema. So it's more about Kriya Shema that Yaakov Avinu is reading and saying. It's a Kabbalah El Malchus Shemayim that Yaakov Avinu was doing. And therefore Yaakov did it, Yosef. It's not a question if it's a Zman. It had nothing to do with the Zman and the Chiyuv. Mamela, it's not a question why Yosef didn't do it, only Yaakov Avinu did it. Why would Yaakov Avinu say Kriya Shema when he sees Yosef? So there's many ways of saying this Teretz. But the most classical way that the Achrayim seem to say is that at the moment where he felt an overabundance of love for his son, he wanted to take that opportunity and use it, love for the Rebbeinu Shleil. At the moment where he sees his son and the tremendous hergeshim, the feelings of love, of longing, that are now coming to fruition by seeing Yosef, he wants to dedicate. He wants to be mechavenet la'aviv shabashamayim d'Rabbeinu Shleil. They say over, I heard this from Isaiah, that when the Chofetz Chaim's son, Reb Leib, was nifter, The Chafetz Chaim stood up and said, Rebbeinu Shloilam, till now I had to share the love that a father has between you, Rebbeinu Shloilam, and my son. I'm a father, I have love for my son. Now I could dedicate all my love, all my thoughts to you. I don't have to share it now between a son and the Rebbeinu Shloilam. This is what Yaakov is saying. I know there's tremendous feelings and ergeishim and thoughts. It's all mechuvin klap ishmaya. This would be the pshat of most of the mefarshim and why Yaakov Avinu is reading Kriya Shema at this juncture, at this moment. Maybe we could say, maybe with a little bit different nusach, a different understanding, that Yaakov Avinu, in seeing Yosef, realizes the Rabbeinu Shloilam's master plan. He realizes that the Rabbeinu Shloilam is Melech HaOlam. Take a look how the Rabbeinu Shloilam planned and brought about that Yosef should be the Melech HaMitzrayim. Recognizing the Rabbeinu Shloilam in the story, he's Mekabel Olav Ol Malchus Shemayim. He's recognizing the Rabbeinu Shloilam. You see here the hand of Hashem. And so he says Kriya Shema. That's how, another way how I would say, I guess the same Teretz with a different Nusach. The way the Maral and others say it is that he wanted to be mechav in the love towards the Rabbeinu Shloilam. Direct his love that he has now and say it's all for you, Rabbeinu Shloilam. Or we could come and say that it was a Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shemayim. He saw the hand of Hashem. He's accepting and realizing and declaring, Rabbeinu Shloilam, Ein Oid Milvade, I see how great you are. Because look how the story concluded after all this time. Look at the last chapter that was written. Look at Yosef. This Rabbeisai is known. A pshat that everybody knows, the reading of the Kriya Shema, when Yaakov Avinu meets his son Yosef. What's a little less known is something which is found in the Marami Panoch. See the Shesvarim quote, bring it. They don't quote necessarily the Marami Panoch and Asar Mamoris, but it's actually in the Marami Panoch, it's a Rishon, that Yaakov Avinu also said Shemon Esrei at the time. Now, if he said Kriya Shema, and we're talking about the Chi of Kriya Shema, then it makes sense that he should say Shemon Esrei. But after Shemon Esrei, he also said Tachdim. When upon seeing Yosef, Yaakov Avinu says Tachnu. What is the Tachnu? Amusa Hapam. If you notice, Yaakov Avinu, Rabbi Hecht, I love you so much, and I'm listening to you. I'm not concentrating on my shir. I have so much derech eretz for you that when you speak, and I'm listening. Zichron l'maseichem aroyim. I'm listening to you. I can mitaycha havu. What should I do? I have to. There's a halach of trei kaili lay mishtami. When one is chaviv, then it's possible, but not if the person is doing the speaking. The person who's speaking and the other person is chaviv to him. He listens to the other person. Anyway, so there's a vart like this, Rabbeisai. What does he say? He says, Amusa Hapam. Amusa Hapam is Tachnun. What's the Tachnun? The Kisvei Ari brings down, for the Kisvei Ari, that Nefilas Hapayim, Nefilas Hapayim is a gather of Mesiras Nefesh. It's like dying al Kiddush Hashem. Tachnun. Mesiras Hapayim. It's called Mesiras Nefesh al Kiddush Hashem. So when Yaakov Avinu said Amusa Hapam, he meant to say, I'm saying Tachnun. So not only do we have from Chazal that he was reading Kriya Shema, but the Marami Pano says, and the Stam he said Shemon Esrei. Smichas Gula Tfilu, you have to say Shemon Esrei. And then he concludes with Tachnun, Nefila Sapayim Amusa Hapam, because Tachnun is Mesiras Nefesh Lamisa. That's Tachnun. Azayzak Daria Kaddish. Now, what's the Chiddush that he said Tachnun? I mean, Pashidicha, if he said Kriyishma, and he said Shemin Esrei, so of course he said Tachnun. Why would he not say Tachnun? So I can come and say, you know, if you learn like the Maral that it wasn't the Chi of Kriyishma, it wasn't the Chi of Kriyishma, but rather it was Kriyishma that he wanted to say. So maybe it's a Chiddush. Who said he said the Shemin Esrei, and who said he said the Tachnun? But then the Kash is, who said he said Shemin Esrei? Why? Maybe he didn't say Shemin Esrei either. If he just said Kriyishma, Mechitesa, how do we know that he said Shemin Esrei? Maybe he just said the Kriyishma. So the Marami Pano seems to be learning that it was regular Kriyishma, and therefore it had to be Shemin Esrei followed, and then it has to follow with Tachnun. So then what's the Chiddush that he said Tachnun? Unless we could say a very, very nice Chiddush. First of all, it's the day that he meets his son. Maybe on such a day, it's a Yontif. On a Yontif, you don't say Tachnun. Besides Bechlal, I have a question. The Chassam Sofer, before, and many others have pointed out that the day that Yaakov meets Yosef was Pesach. Because you have to make the Cheshbon from the day that Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim. Right? That's when the Gullus began, and we left on Pesach. So the years coincide that it was Pesach. It's brought down and from the Mefarshim. Chassam Sofer says it clearly, it was Pesach. So then where's the Tachnun anyway? Why does he say Tachnun on Pesach? Eh? So it must be something about special Tachnun. Which means, Mitzad, the Chi, just like by the Kriyishma, we have to say maybe it's not the Chi of Kriyishma. Because Yosef isn't saying that Kriyishma. The Tachnun maybe was also something separate. And maybe it wasn't even followed by the Shemin Esrei. Maybe it wasn't because he said Kriyishma, therefore he said Shemin Esrei, and therefore he said Tachnun. He said Kriyishma, and then he said Tachnun, maybe. See, Rabbi said Nacham. I'm just trying to understand. The Marami Parnell says that he didn't just read Kriyishma, but he also said Tachnun. And that's what it means, Amusa Pam, because that really explains Amusa Pam is Tachnun. Because Tachnun means to die al Kiddush Hashem, which we have to explain. Why is that? What's in Tachanun? What's in the Filat Apayim that's called Mesirat Nefesh al Kiddush Hashem? Good. But the question is, how do we know it? And the answer is, because if he said Kriyishma, he must have said Shemin Esrei. And if he said Shemin Esrei, he must have said Tachnun. So then what's the Chiddush then? What's the whole big story in the pasuk that he said Tachnun? And the answer is, maybe it's the day that he met his son. He wouldn't say Tachnun. It's a Yontif. Or maybe it's Pesach. So therefore we have to say that maybe it was a special reason to say Tachnun. So then it's not nothing to do with the Shemin Esrei. Maybe he said Kriyishma, he said Tachnun. Maybe he said there was an inyan to say Tachnun that day. There was an inyan to say Yontif, but he said that's it's obviously if Amusa Pam means this, and it was on Pesach, he said it. Why? Rabbi say, what does it mean that Nefilas Apayim is considered Mesiras Nefesh? So there's an interesting Baal Shem in Parashas Kisisa that says that after the Egel, it comes out that two had Mesiras Nefesh. Aaron HaKoyim was Moshe Nefesh. To save Klal Yisrael, he tried to protect, but the eagle, he was putting himself in danger to protect Klal Yisrael. He agreed at the end, but he was trying to push them off. He was playing with them, and he made a cheshbon that if they kill me, what's going to happen? Mesiras Nefesh. He also was Moshe Nefesh. Moshe Rabbeinu, why? Because we find, Vayipol Alpanav, he keeps on falling on his face, Moshe Rabbeinu. Says the Baal Shem, Aaron did the Mesiras Nefesh of Kriyishma, and Moshe Rabbeinu did the Mesiras Nefesh of Nefilas Apayim, of Tachanun. Actually, Rabbeinu Bechaya says this clearly. Rabbeinu Bechaya says that after the story of Korach, we find that Moshe Rabbeinu falls on his face, Vayipol al Panav. Says Rabbeinu Bechaya, What does it mean he fell on his face? He said tachanun. He said nefilas apayim. And nefilas apayim is a form of kiddush Hashem. It's a form of mesiras nefesh lemisa. And Moshe Rabbeinu is doing this. And what does he have from it? So he brings an interesting Gemara. But the Gemara says about Metzia that when someone says nefilas apayim, he's in such a level that anyone who touches him gets punished. The Gemara says two tanoim. One was saying nefilas apayim, the other one caused him a little tzar, and he died because of it. So Gemara about Metzia. So Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to punish Korach. He tried to punish Korach by being Vayipoil Alpanov. So says Rabbeinu Bechaya. Based on the Gemara in Bamitzia Daf Tzadik Tes. Nefilas Apayim. And he explains, Pshat, the person is so connected with the Rabbeinu Shloilam. At the moment that he says Nefilas Apayim, that anybody who comes near him or touches him, who's Pagei on him, is going to get punished. Yeah. Rabbi say, what does all this mean? That there's a mesiras nefesh of kriyishma. There's a mesiras nefesh of nefilas apayim. What does it mean that if a person touches somebody when he's nefilas apayim, it's so dangerous? And soon we're going to learn that actual saying a nefilas apayim is dangerous. That's how strong nefilas apayim is. That if the person says nefilas apayim and he's not fit to say it, he himself could get into big danger. The Chidah brings this down. In Meir Be'etzba, he says clearly that people, when in doubt, better not to say tachnun. Why? Should you say, shouldn't you say, is it a day that you better not to say it? Why? Because if you're not fit at the time to say tachnun, and you say it, you could be putting yourself in danger. Rabbi say, what is the secret? And as a matter of fact, it's interesting, when the Marami Pano says that he said Tachnun Yaakov Avinu, he says it's a roz hakosav b'ksuvim, it's a special secret. What is the secret? What is Tachnun? What is the Mesiras Nefesh? What is the sugya here? Let's open up the sugya to understand Nefilat Apayim in the context of Mesiras Nefesh and the tremendous danger that's around Nefilas Apayim. You hear that, basically? Let's repeat a little bit. Da'ilam Shahir, the Chaimer, what it means, Nefilas Apayim. So we have over here an interesting Marami Pano. If you take a look at Divrei Yecheskel, see the Shesvarim speak about it. Avodas Yisrael, the Yitav Lev. All the Chassidus Shesvarim bring this down. But it originates from the Marami Pano in Asara Mamaris. That not only Yaakov Avinu reads Kriyishma, but Yaakov Avinu is Nafal Alapov. He says Nefilas Apayim, and that's what it means. Amusa Poam, like Dari says, that Nefilas Apayim is Mesiras Nefesh. You're giving up your life for the Eibishta Al Kiddush Hashem. You're giving up your life Al Kiddush Hashem. Well, what does it mean? How is Nefilas Apayim Mesiras Nefesh Al Kiddush Hashem? What does it mean? Kriyishma, I understand. You know Kriyishma is? By Kriyishma, you're supposed to say, Ahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chalavavcha, with all your heart. Even if he takes away your life, and you're supposed to be mechavin, like it's Yidua, the Mishabur brings it down, you have to have in mind that I'm ready to die for Kiddush Hashem. Good? So Kriyishma is Kiddush Hashem. But how is Nefilas Apayim? Right? How is the, even though the truth is, if you look at the pasuk, it clearly states, Nafshi Esav, David HaMelech says, I'm ready to give up my life. That's one of the psukim that we have in the Tachanun. Tfilu David. Now the truth is, Sfarim don't say the same Tachanun that Ashkenaz says. I think it's for this reason, because...
No, but Sfarim, we say the Tachanun, we don't put our heads in.
You don't put your head in, right.
They change the Tachanun, but they put their heads in. They
change
the
Tachanun. Right, Ashkenaz, because of this reason, we're afraid to say those words.
But what we do is we don't put the head down.
I know, I'm trying to... I'm showing you. People don't realize that it's a potent thing, the Tachanun. Sfarim don't want to put their heads in, but why? It's dangerous. It's a dangerous thing, Tachanun. Alif Ashkenaz, you're right, they do it, but they change the mizmor. They don't say. The lashon of the pasuk is by David HaMelech Nafshi. What's the end of the pasuk? Nafshi Esa. I'm giving up my life for the Eibishter. They're afraid to say those words. How did it fall into the parsha Musa Palm? What is going on? Unbelievable question, huh? Okay. So first of all, let me show you something very interesting. You know, the Olam here likes nice Torah from Kisvi Ari and Reb Chaim Vital. It's brought down that the Shem, which is Mimuna on Mesiras Nefesh, is Chaf Chaf. Chaf Pshuta with Chaf Kfufa, which means the Chaf, which is the first Chaf, which is Kfufa, it's bent, and then the Pshuta, which is Chaf Seifis, right?
The Chaf Sofit, the long one?
That's called Pshuta.
Chaf Sofit.
Okay, so Chaf Chaf is the Shem HaMemuna al Mesiras Nefesh. It's Reb Chaim Vital. Pinchas Yitzchak, the Dayan, the Pesach Adar, in Eretz Yisrael, from the Eidach Reidus, had a whole discussion in his Sfarim to explain how Tachnun is connected to Mesiras Nefesh. And he says, if you notice, the name, the Shem, that's Negea to Mesiras Nefesh, is Chaf El Chaf. The Fila Sapayim has that. Why? With one hand, you go like this. That's the Chaf Kfufa. And with one hand, you stand straight. Right? That's the Chaf Pshuta. Gaivit, the Minchas Yitzchak in the Sefer Chumash explains this. And what pasuk does he go on? It says that Aaron HaKohen was afraid to go to do the Avod in the beginning of the base of the Mishkan. So he tells him, Moshe Rabbeinu, his brother, tells him, Lech go, ki lekach nivcharta. What is kach? Chaf, with a chaf straight. So he brings down from Chassidus Sfarim, that's what it means, lekach from Mesiras Nefesh. The chaf and the chaf means Mesiras Nefesh. So he's telling him, you're right, you're scared, but that's what you're here for. The Kayan, he was Moisenev. They used to go into the base, into the Kach HaKadosh. Most of them never came out. In the second base HaMikdash, none of them came out. They used to change them every year.
Yeah.
Tomorrow says, another Vavil, they died. Ki Bekrei VeYakadosh. He says, go, because that's what Nivcharti, you were chosen for this. Ki Lekach Nivcharta. So he says, he brings from Chassid HaShesfarim, that's the pshat. Kach hi darka shel Torah. Pas b'melech teichel. The yisoid of Torah is Mesiras Nefesh. And then he says, that's the pshat also when it says, im lamadet de Torah harbe al tachsim toiv v'latzmcho ki l'kach nevcharta. I would like to add one more, which is even more clear than the others. From all that he brought, I would say the clearest one is the following. The Gemara says in Menachas Daf Chaf Pes, that Rabbeinu Shlom shows Moshe Rabbeinu all the davus, all the generations in the future after him. And he shows him Rabbi Akiva. That Rabbi Akiva sits in his davus every tag, every... So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I don't understand, why are you giving the Torah through me? Why did you give the Torah through Rabbi Akiva? What does the Gemara say that Rabbeinu Shlom answered him? Kach also lefanai b'machshava. Who was Moshe Nefesh, gave up his life? Bakiva. Bakiva was the symbol of dying al kiddush Hashem, which was Bakiva. So I think the word kach also lefanai, yeah, it has to do with Mesiras Nefesh. Kach. This was my plan. Kach, Mesiras Nefesh. Rabbi Akiva has a different job. Your job is one job, his job is the other. Now, what does that mean? I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu says, give the Torah through him. And the answer is kach. So what was the discussion? What does Moshe mean? Moshe Rabbeinu? What is Rabbi Akiva? How is Moshe and Rabbi Akiva the same? But this is Rabbi Akiva's job. And the answer is, because Moshe Rabbeinu was also Moshe Nefesh, but a different way. Mesiras Nefesh could go on many different ways. We have this from the Beis Yosef, The Beis Yosef said he wanted to die al Kiddush Hashem. So he used to daven for this. So it's brought down that the Maggid, when he came to him, the Beis Yosef said, but I daven to die al Kiddush Hashem. So what does the Maggid answer? The Malach answers the Beis Yosef, your job is bigger. You were supposed to live al Kiddush Hashem. Which means, Moshe Rabbeinu, you have one job of Mesiras Nefesh. Rabbi Akiva is going to have a different job of Mesiras Nefesh. Kach, the Mesiras Nefesh, it has different plans at different times for different people. Moshe Rabbeinu, your life is also Mesiras Nefesh. Like we'll soon explain. Like I said to you, how many times was it say by Yipol Alpanov? Moshe Rabbeinu keeps on falling on his face on everything that happens. What's the Vayipol Alpanov? It's also Mesiras Nefesh. So what is the Mesiras Nefesh of Moshe Rabbeinu? What is the Mesiras Nefesh of Vayipol Alpanov? Which in essence is the Mesiras Nefesh of Tachnun, of Nefilas Apai. What is it? Okay. Rabbeisai, let me tell you over that it's very dangerous to say Tachnun, yeah? What is exactly the danger of Tachnun? Now, it's interesting. Chassidim tried to stay away from saying Tachnun. Whenever they have a chance, when in doubt, there's no Tachnun. They don't say that. Whenever they can have a chance not to say, they try not to say. But it's actually a Chidah, Rabbeisai. That's what I'm trying to tell you, eh? It's a Chidah in Meir Betzpah, that whenever you could stay away from Tachnun, better off. Tachnun's a dangerous thing. Now, a big time when Chassidim don't say is Erev Shabbos. They don't say Erev Shabbos. Satmar Rebbe Zecheinu Levracha, based on his grandfather's, never said Tachnun Erev Shabbos. So in the Sefer Likutei Ma'arich, it's a very nice Sefer Halacha, a lot of Chassidish Halacha and Minhagim come from there, he explains that since the Avudram says that you're not supposed to say Tachnun on an Erev of a day that you say Halal, that's how the Avudram brings it down. On a day that you don't say Halal, the Erev, the day before, you don't say Tachnun. Yet on Rosh Hashanah, Erev, we don't say Tachnun, but there's no Halal. So we learn from here that you don't need to have a Halal to any Yantav. Even though it's a Yantav, you don't say Halal. So then Shabbos included. Since Shabbos, you're right, doesn't have halal, but it's a yantiv, it's a holiday, so to speak. It's a yantiv, right? Yantiv ikri Shabbos, Shabbos ikri yantiv. You're right, halal. But you see from Rosh Hashanah that there's no halal, and still you don't see Tachnun erev Rosh Hashanah. So Melech Sidim don't say Tachnun on erev Shabbos. The B'nai Yisaschar, which is one of the classic Chassidus Shesvarim, screams against this custom, and he says it's wrong. You should say halal on Erev Shabbos. He says that someone who doesn't say Tachnun Erev Shabbos is mezalzel in the Shabbos. Why? The reason not to say on an Erev, why don't we say, is to bring chashivus to the day that's coming, that it's going to follow, right? To show the chashivus of the day, we already don't say Tachnun Nefilos Apayim from the day before. But Shabbos is min ha-toiro. You have to show chashivus. The Gemara always speaks about Shabbos is strong. It doesn't need chizuk. So he says, by not saying Tachnun, you're making it sound like Shabbos is not that important. It's not deraisa. If Shabbos is a deraisa, it doesn't need chizuk. It doesn't need to be strengthened. You don't have to prelude it with, I say, oh, it's the day, even the day before is considered a holiday. And you don't say Tachnun. Azay Zok the B'nai Yisrael, and he screams, and he says that whoever has the ability to stop this minig, to stop people from not saying Tachnun Erev Shabbos, it's a tremendous thing that he's doing. This is, so the truth is, Yantiv is also Midairaisa. He's trying to say Shabbos and Yantiv. He brings out this point. Now, the truth is, in Allah, we don't say Erev Yantiv. I guess he meant to say maybe in the morning. We don't say Erev Yantiv in the morning either. I don't know, this is what he says, that by Erev Shabbos, you're coming to say that it's not Chashav. It's a very famous B'nai Yisaschar. Okay. In Dvarim Nechmadim. Now the truth is, there's a Makar. I went to look for a Makar in Halacha, where it's brought down to say, and not to say, and I found there's a Rishain called Machzer Raymond. We get a lot of Minhagim come from there. And there it says clearly, not to say Erev Shabbos. And the reason is because people are Torah and Parnasa. We try to make the davening as quick as possible. Don't forget the Torah writes clearly it's not a chiyuv to say Nefilas Apayim. So when it's not a chiyuv, when it's tir de tzibura, people are busy, therefore we try not to say Tachna on Erev Shabbos. I bring down, I told this to you from the Meir Be'etzpa, from the Chidosim, and Gimel Ois Pei Tes, that whenever in doubt, better not to say anyway, because it's a danger to say Tachnun. So where does it come from that they don't say Tachnun on Erev Shabbos? So the Zidachayva, they quote from the Zidachayva Rebbe, Och Sidim, it's based on something the Zidachayva Rebbe said. And that is, that we don't say Tachnun on Erev Shabbos, why? What happens if a person dies when he says Tachnun, because it's so dangerous? So then the people are going to have to go to his Levaya, and they're busy on Erev Shabbos. So therefore, best thing is not to say Tachnun. That's where you see the reason. Those that don't say Tachnun comes from here. That's where it comes from. Sunday they don't say. They don't say Sunday either. What's the reason not to say Sunday? Because you need one day in preparation in order to say Tachnun. And Shabbos you can't prepare yourself, because Shabbos you can't be busy with your Avodas. So Sunday you don't say, and Friday you don't say, because what happens if a person dies when he says Tachnun? Like we said, it's a big sakana. And then the people that have to go to the Levaya, Memeila, it becomes a danger. In Kleisenberg, they used to say over that it wasn't only on a day like Friday, even on a rainy day, they shouldn't say Tachnun. Because if people have to go to the Levaya on a rainy day, it's a difficult day. You know, it's so therefore, well, Yayim and Dimitra on a snowy day, yeah. So no snow days, no rain days. Yeah, no hurricane, right?
It's too hot.
Or if the buses aren't going good that day, you know, it's too hot. You can't say, you never say Tachma, basically. The point being, you hear Gavetai. What am I trying to bring out? The Tachnun is an interesting thing, that it's dangerous. There's something dangerous about the Tachnun. There's something big and powerful about the Tachnun. The Chassidim B'chlal, based on the Achidar, which says the same point, that it's a sakana to say Tachnun. And they're basing on a Gemara, where the Gemara says clearly that the Tana said Tachnun, and the other Tana who digged at him, he died because of it. While he was saying that was it, terrible. Because they had there was a between them something, by saying Tachnun, he died. No? What's the pshat, they say? Okay, so let me tell you over what I understand in Tachnun. Okay. There's a base Yosef that brings a Zayar. And when a person says Tachnun, it's mechaper and all Averis. What is a Tachnun? It's kaparis avinus, yeah? This explains why we say Vidu. Why do we say Ashamnu before? Because the Tachnun is a kaparis avinus. Rav Liba Zecheinu Levracha, my Rebbe in Beis Avi, writes, obviously it comes from Europe, comes from before him, but he was writing in the Tshuvas in a few places, that the reason to say Vidu is this thing, because maybe you'll die. And it's called Mesiras Nefesh. Didn't we just say that saying Tachnun is Mesiras Nefesh? So you have to say Vidu?
Anybody die?
Anybody die? The Gemara says that there was someone died for bothering the Tana. For bothering the Tana. He was in an issue with the Tana, and the Tana said Tachnun, and the person died.
Did his wife stop him?
The wife thought, because but it was the wrong day, the Gemara says. They thought it was a day that you don't say Tachnun, and if yes, saying Tachnun, that's the story of the Gemara there. So what's the pshat of they say? Oh. You know what the aside of tefillah is? The Zayah brings down that tefillah. And you listen to what I told you from the Beis Yais, it's Mechaper and all the Averis. What's the pshat? Pshat's like this, by saying. The Zayah brings down that there's six mitzvahs in tefillah. One of them is Mesiras Nefesh. When you look at the Chavis Halvavis, the Chavis Halvavis says, Da'och, it's in Shar Cheshbon and Nefesh Perik Yud Gimel, he says, a person when he davens should think he's going out Kiddush Hashem, Behachna, with humility. There's an inyan of Hachna in the tefillah. Notice that at the end of Shemeshi, what do we say? We say, V'nafshi, Ka'afar la kelsiya. How did that come in at the end of the Shemoneh Esrei? It's a prayer for that. V'nafshi ka'ofer. I asked the Eibishter, he should help me. Most of it is a tefillah. We're asking the Eibishter. All of a sudden, v'nafshi. I always understood the pshat is we're stating humility after the Shemoneh Esrei. After a person is oimed lifnei hamelech. He has to be ready to say v'nafshi ka'ofer la'kel siya. He'd batlut, complete his batlus. And then it leads into tachnun. And that's called mesiras nefesh. There's different types of mesiras nefesh, Rabbi Yisrael. There's mesiras nefesh where a person has to give up his physical life. And then there's a mesiras nefesh called his batlus. The Gemara tells us, haroi tzalich yais. It's Mar and Tamid. Haroi tzalich yais. Yamis atzmai. What does yamis atzmai? He should kill himself? And the answer is no. Yamis atzmai means he should act humble. Humility. Humble. Humble.
Nothing.
I'm nothing. Haroi tzalich yais. Yamis atzmai. That's also the type of misa. The nafshi ki ofer la kilsiya. What are we saying? Rabbeinu Shloim, I recognize your greatness to the point that there is no me. I'm like offer. Then he goes and he falls on his face. Nefilas apayim. That's called kiddush shem shemayim mesiras nefesh for the Rabbeinu Shloim.
Did twice.
It's a different type of mesiras nefesh. That's what it means. There's Krishma, yes. Krishma is the physical that I say, b'chol levav, b'chol nafsh, I'm ready to die physically for the Eibishter. And then there's called Mesiras Nefesh that Moshe Rabbeinu did. And that is, v'yipoil al panov, which is a tremendous lesson, according to the Beis Yosef, it's mechaper on all the Averis. Humility, anova. When a person is humble in front of Hashem, it forgives all the Averis. Here, there's a way of how we can have a trufa. There's a way how we can have a receipt of health, a bill of. How do we get a clean bill? Another. It heals all the averis. Why? The person is misbatel. The person is humble. That's also a form of kiddush shem shemayim. And we all know that kiddush shem shemayim is mechaper on all the averis. Even Chil Hashem. Anava. Humility. Humble. V'nafshi kiofor lakoil siya. Then what do? Anafa lalapi. I fall on my face in humility, like Moshe Rabbeinu v'yipol alpanov. It's achna. You take a look at Rabbeinu Bechai, he explains this, that when Moshe falls, it's from Tzar and Hachna. It's a type of Hachna. Humility. And we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was Anav Mikol Adam. That's what it means. Leich kilkach nivcharta. What does that mean? Kach also. Yeah, Rabbi Akiva had a different type of Mesiras Nefesh. Rabbi Akiva's Mesiras Nefesh was to die physically al Kiddush Hashem. You Moshe Rabbeinu. Remember we had the question, what is he telling him? This is Rabbi Akiva's life is to die al Kiddush Hashem. And you, Moshe, the answer is, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, is to live. That Kiddush Hashem. Mecheni Mesifracha. Anova. It's like I'm dead. Mecheni, pure is batlus. This is the Mesiras Nefesh, the Moshe Rabbeinu, exactly, the Mecheni Misifrecha. Moshe Rabbeinu set forth the Mahalach of Mesiras Nefesh through living, to live with Mesiras Nefesh, and that is his batlus, humility. This, Rabbi Isai, is Tachnun. Tachnun is that the person becomes a Kaddish, a Moshe Nefesh, through a concept. Nefilas apayim, I fall in humility in front of you, Rabbeinu Shloimeh. And this comes after Shemoneh Esrei, after being oimed lifnei hamelech. The Shemoneh Esrei means he recognizes. Rabbi Chaim Brisker told us that what's the kavanah in tefillah? To understand and visualize that you're standing in front of the king. Oh, after you finish, you fall to your face. You fall to your face. In humility, in hachna, That's called Mesiras Nefesh. Now I want to go back to Yaakov Avinu. You know, Rabbi Yisai, one of the things that should humble a person is when he recognizes the chesed of the Eibishter. How much kindness the Eibishter really does with a person. That's supposed to cause a sense of to be humble in front of Hashem. We find by Bikurim that when a person brings Bikurim, it says that he puts the Bikurim down and he thanks the Eibishter and the Hishtachavisa. You're supposed to bow down to the in the Beis HaMikdash. The Mefarshim discuss what is the inyan of Hishtachaviyah? Why are you bowing down? So the Brisker Rav learns there was a din that whenever you walked into the Beis HaMikdash, you had to bow down. So it's not so much connected to the Bikurim as much as that you're in the Beis HaMikdash now. Well, maybe we could say it's connected directly to the Bikurim. That at the moment that the person thanks the Eibishter, he comes to the understanding and the recognition of the chesed of the Rabbeinu Shleilam. Yishtachavisa, he falls in the humility. He's humbled by the chesed of the Eibishter. That's Yishtachavia, which is relevant in the bringing of the Bikurim. This Rabbi Yisai is Yaakov Avinu, Musa HaPam. Yaakov is saying like this, I see your face. Now I fall on my face in the filas apayim, in humility, from the chesed, from realizing the greatness and the kindness of the Rabbeinu Shleilam. When you start to understand and recognize how, for years, don't forget, for years, Yaakov Avinu was sitting and misunderstanding Rabbeinu Shleilam, what are you doing to me? The Chazal say that the Rabbeinu Shem tells Yaakov, you think I made you suffer for nothing? He was actually punished. Chazal tell us that he was punished. Why? Because he looked so bad. And he complained, Yimei, Shnei, Chaye. He got punished for that. Why? Rabbeinu Shem says, here I'm trying to make your son the king, and you complain. All of a sudden, when he sees Yosef, he realizes, wow, for 22 years I didn't understand. It was all chesed of Hashem. Amusa Palm, I fall in humility in front of the greatness and the chesed of the Rabbeinu Shleilam. This was the inyan of Nefilas Apayim. Nefilas Apayim is Hachna. Hachna in front of the greatness of Oymed Lifnei HaMelech, when you see the hand of Hashem and His kindness. Imagine that a person is diving to the Rabbeinu Shleilam, and he starts to realize das and food and everything. It's all from Hashem. That's shat nafshi yotza bedabri. When I start to talk to Hashem, my soul comes out from recognition of Hashem's greatness, from the chesed of Hashem. That's the pshat amusa hapam. Rabbeinu Shalom, my neshama is longing to you now, falling in front of you in humility. Till Mesiras Nefesh, in light of the tremendous chesed that you've done for me. You know, Rabbi Yisai, I want to discuss with you part of what Yaakov Avinu realized the chesed of the Eibishter was. You know, Yosef HaTzadik, a tremendous thing happened to Yosef HaTzadik. For 22 years, he was in the worst situation possible. Nobody in the world could withstand the nisyonot, the nisyonis that Yosef went through. To the point that Yaakov Avinu didn't even believe that even if he found that Yosef was alive, he didn't believe that it was Yosef, that Yosef would remain. Now I'll explain to you. You said it very good, and I want to explain this to you. There's an interesting medrash. The Satmar Rav brings this medrash down, that when he saw the Agalos, when he saw the Agalos, the not only is alive, he didn't do the Maisa Potiphar. From the Agalus, Yaakov Avinu understood Shleichata, that he didn't fall in with the story with Potiphar. So he's asked the question, how did he see in the Agalus? How do you see that? Okay. So I always said the pshat is, the Agalus were a simon of learning. The Torah that he learned, that was the last thing he learned. You think he would remember all the Torah that he learned in the yeshiva if he was busy doing Zimas Aretz, the terrible things in Mitzrayim? It doesn't sound like someone who'd be learning. So if he's still talking about learning as a simon, that he's still a ben Torah, he's still a yeshiva bacha. And therefore, he knew that he didn't do the Avera. Big Rosh Hashivas always say, you could tell on the face of the bacha where he's holding. Someone who watches movies that he shouldn't be watching, you could tell on his face he's not holding by learning. That's what they always say. Maybe that's what Yaakov meant to say. If he's talking in the sugya that they learned, it's a siman that he wasn't with Potiphera. I want to say something deeper. If you notice, the pasuk says that Yosef tells his brothers, "Ki pi ha-medaber aleichem." Right? See, I'm Yosef, because look, I'm talking to you. Says Rashi, I'm talking to you in Lashon Kodesh. So it must be that I'm Yosef. Right? Rashi, "Pi ha-medaber" means I spoke Lashon Kodesh. It's a simon that I'm Yosef. Frek the Ramban Akasha, what's the proof? Everybody spoke Lashon Kodesh. Why? They live next door to Eretz Yisrael. I mean, Mitzrayim in Israel is very close. You don't think Mubarak knew how to speak Hebrew a little bit? They speak it. Really. You don't think in the streets of Egypt there aren't people who could speak Hebrew? Of course they speak Hebrew. Sure they speak Hebrew. So why? Is it a proof that he spoke Hebrew? This is the Ramban's question. So Ramban says, you're right, it's not a proof. But he wanted them to feel comfortable, you know, so he spoke to them in Hebrew. To show them, you know, to be mephayis them, you see, I'm also like you, but it's not a proof really. Because everybody spoke Hebrew, it's not a big deal. Ramban, that's how the Ramban learns. The Chassam Sofer explains different pshat. Chassam Sofer says, it's impossible to remember Lashon Kodesh. You forget it. It's impossible. Because it's Kodesh, and if you are not Kodesh, it forgets. He says, if you take a look at the Doiris, people forgot right away. They start speaking other dialects. Why? Because if you're not holding the Kedusha, you can't remember Lashon Kodesh. Satmarov says it a little different. He says, you know, he didn't like the modern day Hebrew with the. He says, yeah, they'll speak, but not Kodesh. They'll speak Ivrit maybe, but not Lashon Kodesh. You see? He says, someone who's Tamei, not going to speak Lashon. That Rashi didn't say he spoke Hebrew. He spoke Lashon Kodesh. you know, he didn't like the whole, if you're a Baal Aveira, there's no Hebrew. Yeah, maybe Hebrew, yeah, you know.
Same thing.
Okay. It's the same type of art. It's more or less the same art. Okay. Others say pshat. Ki pi ha-medaber. You know, pi, my mouth speaks, which means I'm fluent in it. Why did you just say I speak to you in Hebrew? Pi, my mouth speaks. You know when you can tell the difference if it's a person's real language? If he's fluent. When it's not your real language, you know, it doesn't come out right. It comes out with an accent. It's pi hamadat. You see, my mouth is saying, so it must be from birth. It's got to be from birth. I must be a Jew from birth, because only a Jew from birth could speak like this Hebrew. Go over to an Israeli. Oh, he speaks Hebrew. No American guy. You ever see when an American guy tries to speak Hebrew? I see right when you laugh at him, you know he's not from Israel, right? He was trying to keep him a dad, but look, my mouth is, it's fluent.
No accent.
Above the Rebbe, Friedrich, it's good to see it, says this pshat. It's a nice pshat. Okay. What do I want to say? I want to say it like this. The fact that he speaks Lashon Kodesh is a raya that he's Yosef. Notice he sent Agalus. What are Agalus? Agalus is wagons. What does Agalus have to do with an Egla? It's not Dome B'chlal. How did Egla Rufa, which is what he learned, to have to, it's two different Agalus. One is a cow and the other one's a carriage. So maybe the pshat is that the reason why it's called an agala is because it's pulled by a cow, maybe. Maybe that's why it's called an agala. Maybe. But a cow is one thing and a carriage is another thing. The pshat is, he meant to say, the Hebrew. In Hebrew, an agala, and then he would remember from that, that it's egel. Forget about the same shayrish. The point is that when you see an agala, the name is the same as this, but that's only if you speak Hebrew. So the fact that he speaks Hebrew is a raida shloichata. How did he prove from the agalas? And the answer is because an agala is nothing to do with an ego, unless you speak Hebrew. When you speak Lashon Kodesh, it has the same name. This is an eagle, this is an agala. Oh, if he still remembers after 22 years that Lashon Kodesh, it's a simon that what? That's where he talks in the house. If you didn't speak for 25 years a language, you'd think you'd send the remez with a language you don't speak at all. Teretz says they speak it like this in the house. He's fluent in it. So it's a simon shalei chata, like the Chassam Sofer, because if he was chata, no? He would never remember Egel and Agala. That's how I want to say it for Shah. Oh, it's beautiful, huh? It's a beautiful Shah, eh? You hear the Shah of Ezeh? That the fact that he sends an Agala, and it's supposed to be a remez for Egel, it's only in Lashon Kodesh. In Mitzvahs, it wouldn't be a remez. See if he sent a calf. So you'll say that was the last thing he learned. So you don't have to come on to the language. But here you have to come on to the play of the language. So it's a simin, what Rabbi said, that he speaks Lashon Kodesh, and he speaks Lashon Kodesh. You hear? Okay. So what do we have? That Yosef remained exactly the same. Now I want to tell you more. Everything about Yosef remained like a yid. He spoke like a yid. He looked like a yid. Want to hear how he looked like a yid? I'll tell you how he looked like a yid. It says in the Pasuk that when they saw Yosef, Nivhalu mipanav.
When you say it.
Nivhalu. When they saw Ani Yosef, right? When he said Nivhalu mipanav. So the Bnei Saskha says, it should have said Nivhalu milfanav. Why does it say Nivhalu? And the answer is mipanav. They got scared from his face. From literally his face. Not in front of him. Literally his face. What about his face scared him? So I always said the pshat is, from the Chidah says, he looked just like Yaakov Avinu.
They didn't see before.
They didn't see. And the answer is because they didn't want to see. When you don't want to see something, it can be right in front of you, you won't see it. The clearest, simplest thing, you don't want to see it, you don't see it.
Didn't see that before.
So when they looked at him, Nivalumi, whoa, looks just like Yaakov. How can we couldn't tell? Mipanav, literally from his face. That's how I always said the pshat. But I see the Bnei Saskas is a different part. Nivalumi panav. His face was that of a yid. You look at a guy, has a disgusting look. He looked with a beard and peyot. Imagine you come to a tribe and you see a person with a beard and peyot, okay? And the face is like the Shechina, like Baba Sali. You know? You have no clue that he's Yosef HaTzadik. Nivalu, that's the Bnei Saskha says, Nivalu Mipanav. They looked at his face, and on his face you could tell who he was. He didn't look like the Goyim, the Rishayim, the Achzorim that was in Mitzrayim. Yeah, when you look at when you look at Obama, you don't see a Yid. You don't. There's no way you can look at a Yid, you see a Yid. That's what it is. You don't see a Yid. I want to say that's the pshat. That Yaakov Avinu says, Re'oi panecha loy pilalti. I didn't dream of what to see? Panecha. Why does he stress the panecha? That the face should be your face. He thought he would come to Mitzrayim and see a Yosef. You know what Yosef would look like? Like a Mitzrayim. But your face, the face of Yosef that I remember from the house, that I didn't plan on seeing. Yosef looked like Yosef HaTzadik when he left. That's so he speaks like a Yid. He looks like a Yid. Now I'll tell you more. He sounds like a Yid. I'll probably tell you where I got this from. There's a beautiful pshat from the Belzer Rebbe in Chatzadik Levroch. Beautiful. Ramesh, beautiful pshat. He says like this. They come and they tell Yaakov Avinu that Yosef is alive. Oid Yosef Chai. Vayofeg Liboy ki loy hem in behem. His heart started to bang because he didn't believe them. Vayedabru, they spoke all the words of Yosef. Oh, Yosef is still alive. I'm going down to see him. Ask the Belzer Rebbe, Rabbi Sacha Daif, previous three before this one, what's the pshat? First he didn't believe, his heart was pounding, and then when they spoke it, then he did believe it. Why first he didn't believe and then afterwards believe? What changed? So he says, it's interesting, if you notice, Yosef gave instructions to the brothers. What? No, besides that, what should you tell my father? Tell him, Vayasimeni l'av l'paray, ul'adayin b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, u'mayshel b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, right? Did he say u'l'mayshel, or did he say u'mayshel? He should have said, simeni, the Abish to put me l'av, li'adayin, u'l'mayshel. It doesn't say that. It says Umayshel. Says the Belzer Rebbe, he was very careful. Officially, he's the Mayshel, right? Officially, that's he walks the streets. He has to walk with the title that he's the Mayshel. But Yosef was humble, and Yosef says, "I'm not the Mayshel. The Rebbeinu Shlomo's the Mayshel." So he never said, "I'm the Mayshel." What does he say? "I am Laav. I am Laadain in Mitzrayim, but Umayshel, not me." There is a Meishel in Mitzrayim. Who's that? Not me, Thevishta. So that was what Yosef gave them instructions. Not to say, I am L'av, I am L'adain, I am L'Meishel. There is a Meishel, the Chol Eretz Mitzrayim. Who is he? Okay, they think it's me, but it's not me. It's really who? What did they come back and say? The one thing that they said. Oy Yosef Chai, V'chi?
Moshe.
No? Who, Meishel? It says clearly, V'chi, who, Meishel? They came back and they stressed, why did they have to stress who? Just say, V'chi, Meishel. They came and said, V'chi, who? What? Vayofik Liboy. Yaakov Avinu's heart starts to, he told you to tell me that he's the Meishel of Mitzrayim. That's how he talks. The Rebbe Yisrael is Meishel Bagayim. What are you talking about? The Rebbe Yisrael is the Meishel. Vayofik liba kilo hemin behem. Vayedabru kol divrei Yosef. What is kol divrei Yosef? So Pasha means the agolas, the whole story, the mila. No. Yaakov says, could you say again what he told you? Oh, he never said he's the Meishel. He said he's the Av and the Adain. Who Meishel? There's a Meishel. He got happy. I'm going to see Yosef, my son, Terem Amos. That's when he started to believe and be happy that Yosef is alive. Yeah? So Yosef Mitzrayim sounds like a Yid. Hishem Shemayim Shagur Al Piv was like a Yid. Yeah? How could such a thing be? And the answer is because the Rebbeinu Shalom did a tremendous chesed. He started to see the ness, the miracle that happened to him through Yosef and Mitzrayim. After 22 years, he comes back to see his son, the king of Mitzrayim, and he's like Yosef HaTzadik that never left. Amusa HaPam, he falls to his face, realizing, Ein Oid Movadi. It's so clear to him now that the Rebbeinu Shloim was running the show the entire time. His Galus Hashem was so open in front of him that it was Nafshi Yotza. His soul went out. Chazal tell us, that on Matan Torah, what happened by Matan Torah? By Matan Torah, why? When the minute they heard and they saw the Shechina, their neshama went out. Yaakov was saying, I see when I look at your face, what do I see? I see the Rebbeinu Shloim's hand to the point, Amusa Pam. I'm ready, the miracles, the chesed is so big, I'm ready to die. My heart is ready to fall out. Amusa Pam. And that's Hachna. What's the lesson, Rabbi said? There's a lesson here to be learned. Hashem does tremendous miracles with us. If you take what Hashem gives us as a miracle, it has to lead us to achna. For example, Hashem gives us money. If a person looks at it as money, then he could go off very quickly. Bad things a person could do with money. Why? Because right away, a person gets rich. Shamanta visa, right? Vatishkachkel, you can forget the Eibishter. You can become a balgaiva. Ba'ata, you can become a balgaiva. Ram levavcha. Person gets money, he starts thinking very, very big of himself. But when a person realizes it's Hashem, the Eibishter gave the money, and every day he gives and gives, so then you become humble. It makes a person hachna'a. That hachna'a is mesiras nefesh. That mesiras nefesh is mechilas avinus. It's mechaper and all the chatayim. Like the Rebbe Yosef brings down, that the achna in the tachnun is what brings out the mechilas avinus. And this makes that a person should be able to live a life of kedusha, a life of kedusha, a life of kedusha. To be humble, to be connected. That's what it means, that the connection with Eibishter at that time is so strong that anybody who touches the person. That's the Gemara B'Metzia. You become so attached. How do you become so attached during Tachnun? Because through the first the tefillah, your Oymed Lifnei HaMelech, you recognize, and then you become humble. That Hachna'a makes a person attached to the Eibishter, like a person who dies Al Kiddush Hashem. That is the inyan of Amusa Apam in life. A person doesn't have to le'aleinu go al kiddush Hashem, but he can live a life of mesiras nefesh, a life of kiddush em shemayim. This is a lesson that we should take, and mitzvah Hashem will be.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.